Oh, hey, it's time to go live. It's time to go live. What's up, y'all? Happy Wednesday. Y'all know what day
it is.
It's time for the podcast. We are here. What day is it? Oh, March 16th. It's Wednesday, March 16th. We are ready to get with y'all, have fun with y'all, and just, you know, have a good time. We got a special guest on today. So, you know, so when we have interviews, y'all know we learn about our wonderful people, and we only bring people on that that matter to what we got going on, or that got some wonderful things going on in our communities, and like, you know, just good stuff. We don't just bring anybody on the show because we could talk to them any time of the day. So these conversations are prolific and they're astounding. We'd like to learn about the people who are serving us. So today, y'all, we are going to bring on, I was trying to go up here to my thing. So my video, I said I had a video.
Before you bring him on.
My video now. Stop playing with me.
The one and only.
Let me go to my video. We're going to bring Mr. Terrence Barber on. And when we bring him on, y'all, I have a video clip to show y'all about the many hats. The name of this interview today is the many hats of Mr. Terrence Barber. So we're going to learn about those hats today. So everybody, let's welcome Mr. Terrence Barber to the stream.
Hey!
What's happening?
How y'all doing?
How you doing?
Good. I'm blessed.
I know that's right.
Thank y'all so much.
So welcome to our virtual studio. Terrence and I was working on getting this to be out in an actual live setting, but you know, schedules and stuff collide, and Mr. Barber wear many hats, so you know, he have last minute things going on too, and you know, that's what we're here to talk about, the many hats of Mr. Barber, how things can change from 5 seconds ago to, you know, in 10 minutes, it may have to be this way. So let's learn about Mr. Barber. But before we get into our quote of the day and learning about Mr. Barber, I'm going to show you guys a quick little video that was put together today to
video
give you a little bit of an insight. he ain't even seen it. So
a video clip.
It's a photo video. So we're just gonna give y'all a little bit of a footage of Mr. Barber in action. Not to make everybody have to see you. You know, they can come out and see that, but right. Not to put you on the spot. But how do you balance? How you balancing?
Man, faith, and prayer and preparation. I try to make sure that I have my schedule not too overcrowded. But a lot of it, man, is a faith walk. I wish I could sit here and say that everything was just so well planned and organized that I didn't kind of, you know, run around some days wondering which direction I'm going. But I think that, I don't know, I think I work better sometimes in the midst of chaos. So sometimes it's not as well thought out and well planned as some people may see fit, but it tends to work itself out. So
that's when you get the best results anyway.
Exactly.
Like,
I work under pressure.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about that is it don't look like it's something that you put, like, that you having to fix at the last minute or that you having to do.
Yes.
In the midst of things. So we're gonna learn a little bit more about Mr. Barber, but we got a quote of the day, Terrence. I'm gonna call you Terrence the whole time, but you are Mr. Barber. We have a quote of the day that is representative of change. And a lot of times, you know, people expect you to be the same person they met 10 years ago, mm-hmm. or the same person they met 15, 20 years ago. And this particular quote sets a whole different tone for that. So The quote of the day is, every day the clock resets. Your wins don't matter. Your failures don't matter. Don't stress on what was. Fight for what could be. Mr. Sean Higgins.
Mm. So, that's a good one.
Powerful. That's powerful.
What you think about that? How you feel about that?
I mean, you get the opportunity in this life to reset, recharge, refocus as many times as you need to. I forget who said it, but there's always been a prolific quote that I live by, and it's, even if you're not ready for the day, it can't be night forever.
Oh yeah.
Night forever. Or morning.
I mean, like in the Bible, God took his people to the wilderness for 40 years.
Yeah.
40 years they were in the wilderness before they delivered him. So people have an opportunity to change. I think that's the beautiful thing about life. And I mean, you have an opportunity to not be the same person you were 5 seconds ago.
Mm-hmm.
You choose to do. And your failures don't matter. At the end of the day, like, those are lessons that matriculate, that taught you how to deal with the present. So, you know, even when I look back at my own personal journey and struggles and everything else that I went through in life, I wouldn't change it because it made me the man I am today.
Yep. I feel like that. I feel like anytime you have the opportunity to look back and say, oh, I did that. I learned from that. I did. You know, it was like if you living and you're not able to see the discrepancies in some of the walks that you chose, then you didn't grow.
Right. You're not growing. Right.
You're not growing at all. You had a stunt. You can pretend well in front of people. You can act a certain type of way to try to get people to try to get people to see that you this way. But in actuality, you got to go home every night
and face
that person.
Right.
And take off all that baggage that you're trying to carry on to fulfill other people's hopes and dreams of who you are instead of being who you are. So to me, this quote exactly stands on that. It speaks directly about that. Queen, you want to add to that?
No, it's a powerful quote. But the thing is, what you said, Terrence, about them being in the wilderness, they weren't delivered until they believed. When they started believing, right. that's when they got delivered. It's all about what you put out there. And if you believe that you can do what you're doing, you gonna do it.
Right.
It's just that simple. But everybody having tapped into that side of them.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. So, and again, the quote says, every day the clock resets. Your wins don't matter. Your failures don't matter. Don't stress on what was. Fight for what could be. So if you just think about if our parents decided to give up on us.
Right.
Or if they do one more goddamn thing,
right?
I'm done.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're cut off because of something, a decision you made, and it was something that you decided to do just out of sheer stupidity, lack of knowledge, trying to fit in, whatever things. We are human. We fall. We falter.
Right. Right.
Yeah. But if our parents decided to do those things and at like. Every day was the same day, we would not have gotten the lessons we needed to learn. Our failures wouldn't have mattered to our parents. That's you done did this, I'm done. That's enough. It's like, instead of them accepting, you know, that what they did accept from us, because they got fed up, you know, we get fed up. So but we still have to be the soldiers for our children, just like our kids got to be soldiers for themselves and for their children. We can't teach them to be so easy to give up on things. And you know, so that's quote. Exactly. So, Mr. Barber, Terry, give us a little bit of history about the journey, how you got on this journey. You know, because you weren't always wearing like the 12 hats you wore, but at some point you still wore many hats. How did you get to this particular portion of your journey?
I think the way I got here where I am today, probably started this chapter of my life probably started with Working Class Wednesday, prior to, and I'll explain what Working Class Wednesday is for those that may or may not know, but prior to, even in, like, when I was a little younger, I've always been. I always knew that God created me like to be a leader. Like, he created me to like not just sit around and go with the flow of everything else that was going on. So even as far back as when my uncle and my father had the Endo Flea Market on the south side, and then we moved to South Adams, and I started Heart of the City Entertainment back when we were doing like club promotions and events and traveling and doing all sorts of things. I just knew, and I was doing like mixtapes for local artists and just putting together things that actually brought the community together. And I think that was just the walk that God had me on. Like you said, or like we all human, so I was still developing even into the person that I am now. And at first, when I started Working Class Wednesday, I didn't know why I was doing. People asked me like, "Well, why did you start this? Why did you?" It was just an idea I had that, you know, at the time I didn't even own a business. So they were like, "Well, why were you so fervent about trying to help small businesses when you didn't yourself own a business?" I was like, "Well, I think I was just being obedient, I guess, to what the calling was, because I couldn't answer that question. I never could. But now that I sit here and doing the things that I'm doing now, it all starts to make sense because I needed this body of work for the next of my life. So God was preparing me and connecting me with people. And it was a selfless act. Because at first, like I said, when I started, I was doing it merely to help empower other people. And now that I need the support to be able to get into a situation where I'm able to continue empowering my people, the support is definitely there.
That's awesome.
That's a great way to outline what made you lead to where you are now, because you have the Working Class Wednesday, you have the Capital Connections, and we have you in line to be our next county commissioner.
County commissioner, District 1, Leon County.
That's an applause itself right there.
Exactly. So what about that? What about that makes this walk important for you? What about those three things that have, because the first one accumulated to the next one, and then now you have the next one. How did you get there? What you doing? What you got going on, bro?
I mean, I think that every day I try to figure out how can I mean, it's cool to make dollars, but I mean, until you really have a change mindset that you actually want to change things. Like I got children in this community. I have nieces and nephews and younger folks growing up in this community. And I would just say that even from like when I was in high school, like not a lot has changed in our communities of color, and that's from Frenchtown all the way through the South Side. Like, we don't see much change. So as I started researching and started understanding local government and how it works and how money is displaced or dispersed when it comes to communities of color, I just felt like there was a role that needed to be filled. With all due respect to the, you know, current commissioner, I just feel like until we have a more inclusive community, whereas we are asking the community what they need instead of assuming what they need, I think that we're going to remain stagnant. I mean, right now we got 32304 is the poorest zip code in the state of Florida. Like, that's atrocious. Like, this is the capital city of the state of Florida with two major universities. FAMU has been educating Black folks in Tallahassee since 1887. Why do we still have so many poor Black communities? And that to me was a call to action.
And we have one of the biggest, one of the most well-known universities in the NCAA that's in that community. Which makes it even more atrocious.
Doak Campbell Stadium sits in the middle of 32304.
So, hello everyone that has joined on and came in the comments. Hey y'all, we coming into the conversation, you'll see that we're talking to Mr. Terrence Barber today, and we're learning a little bit about him and the many hats that he wears. We have a question for you, Terrence. It says, what is the role of the county commissioner?
So the commission is broke up into districts. Each commissioner has a vote. And it's the allocation of funding, mostly, is what the commissioner does. So if there's a proposal on the dais, then each commissioner gets a chance to weigh in and then vote on the appropriation of funds, where the money should go. As in, we also have an IA board, which is the city and county commission conglomerate, which is what was just latest in the news about the Dope Campbell Stadium vote. Mm-hmm. Each commissioner had an opportunity to weigh in and vote whether or not we would bankrupt our blueprint funds to go to Dope Campbell Stadium. So it's important that we have people in office that actually look out for the community. Not saying that we don't presently, but I would think that if everyone is saying, no, don't do this, it's not what we voted for you to do, and you do it, I mean, you would think that there must be some other intention. Okay. There. So the main role for a county commission, I think, and what we need to add to that is communication with the community. Because that's the first thing. I mean, while we're campaigning and canvassing, we all want to be seen. We all want to be heard. We all want to become likable in order to earn your vote. But it seems that as people progress in that seat, that sometimes a disconnection occurs. And I think that comes with time in a lot of situations.
Yeah.
Unless you, even with relationships, I mean, sometimes you just need to reboot, you know what I mean, in order to keep going forward. And I think that, I mean, with no term limits on local elected officials, I mean, it's just time for change. Respect.
Time for change.
I think the whole, the thing of whether or not people are in the position and then they, you know, get comfortable in their role, when that starts to happen, there needs to always be new people coming in. And showing face to what needs to be changed in the community. Because if you allow the people to get comfortable in a position that they're supposed to be serving the people, then who are you serving? So the question changes then, the perspective changes. And the knowledge, I'm very invested in wanting to get people learning more about local votes, local situations, things that's going to help you locally. I mean, you do whatever you want to do on a national level. That's your business. But in your local community where you pay taxes, where your children go to school, where the people who you serve, I mean, work under, and they supposed to be serving you, end up serving themselves more, then we got to start making some changes. So it's time to see new faces.
And the most profound thing about it is most other demographics of people have a culture of cultivating new leadership. They take one person or take some group of people under their wing and they cultivate them into carrying or passing the baton to continue the growth of their communities. But seems as if we as a people get into these seats and claim them as if it's like a lifelong.
Right. Yeah.
It do need to be a cap on the time.
Even if it's not a cap on the time, if you can be in that position, but if you're doing the job and the things like, cause it always should be a liaison between the community and the commissioner.
Right.
Should always be somebody in the middle that can make sure that commissioner knows, cause the commissioner cannot, which I meet like once a month.
It's in the middle of the day. And what I've seen
in the middle of the day.
But the way it's set up now was so disenfranchising. It's like when I go to these commission meetings, like there's very few people that look like me in these meetings because most of us are at work running our business. This is a college town. All of the students are at school. Our biggest voting demographic in District 1 are college students who have no idea what's going on with local government until something is politicized, like the Dope Campbell vote. Now everyone's paying attention to funding and local government. But when Black communities weren't getting their fair share right outside the gates of the stadium, like no one knew. So it's like we have to have that kind of open dialogue and transparency in order to empower a community that may or may not even know what's going on. And like the young lady asked the question, a lot of people I meet don't even know what the job of a commissioner is. So it's hard to dictate whether or not they're doing a good or a bad job when you have no idea what their job is.
Exactly. Very, very well said. Very detailed. It explained a lot more than what you even started with, you know, with answering her question, because it gave you more knowledge of what you, the whole commission role. Mm-hmm. You guys, like she said, as long as the job is being done efficiently and effectively, who in the seat don't matter. If they, if they look like us or don't look like us, if they're doing the job properly. But if you don't look, if you do look like us, we expect you to remember who you're serving, especially when you're thinking about your district and the people who laying out in your district, going out every day. Some of them low income. I think middle class pretty almost depleted. But whatever, you know, whoever those people in those communities, if you're serving those people, they should know who you are, not just during election time, but they should know that they got a passage, like I said, that liaison to get that information to you about what needs to be done in the community so that you are not getting too up here and you can't see the people below no more.
Right, right. And the first thing I would implement is a community discussion. Like every month, we may switch neighborhoods. One month we might be at Walker Ford. One month we might be at Dade Street Community. But we have to have, we have to meet people where they are. Like people want to know what's going on. People, if people knew all the programs and opportunities that were privy to folks that don't have to go to work every day or can have time to pay attention. You know, I think in the community, they always tell us we need to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. But that starts with local leadership.
Exactly.
If we're not privy to the information, if we don't know, like my people perish due to a lack of knowledge. And if we continuously like keep the veil up, where people, I mean, of course, people are busy. People are busy trying to just make ends meet a lot of times. But I think that until we have a more effective communication between local government and the actual community, then we will continuously be overlooked.
That's true.
That's very true. Tell us about a fear that you've overcome in this walk.
In this current walk.
you can tell us any walk.
It's a process. I think that a lot of times we're taught that not to care about what other people think about you. But in this current phase of my life, that is one of the biggest things that you must. Perception.
Is everything.
Right. So that in itself, of course, it's an open book once you put your name on that public record to jump on the ballot. In which I'm not ashamed of anything, but I think that people have this misconception of what the perfect leader is. I think that people want pristine, well-educated people. I put it to you like this. I sit on a lot of boards and I go into Zoom meetings with people to talk about gun violence and youth incarceration. Nobody in the Zoom has ever even been to Facebook jail before. So I'm trying to understand how can we get answers to these problems and these issues with people that have no lived experience, have no knowledge whatsoever outside of what they read in a book, have and no connection with the actual community to get the community engaged with what they're saying.
Hasn't that how it's always been?
That's how it's always been. You mean as far as what leadership looks like?
Leadership.
And I think that that may be one of our downfalls in our communities of color, because we expect people to relate to us that don't. And a lot of times, simply because people look at you does not mean that they can relate with your struggle, because, of course, we all come from different walks of life. So I think that with me growing up, and I did go to college and graduated, but I had my pitfalls along the way. So I was able to take those lessons in life and through my experiences and be able to attribute that to the leadership skills that I've developed. So aside from all of the struggles I had, I also went through Leadership Tallahassee, which was, you know, the Greater Chambers leadership course for the leaders of the community, which most of our local elected officials have gone through that process. I sit on the board at the Office of Economic Vitality. I'm the membership director for the Big Bend Minority Chamber of Commerce. I sit on the board at Tallahassee-Leon County Federal Credit Union. I'm one of their chair people. I sat on the board at Tallahassee Community College and their foundation board. It's like life has taught me that your struggles can turn into your successes. It's just the way that you develop and deal with them throughout that stage of your life. So yeah, I think that the transparency part and the not wanting people to know your business, minding your business type deal, and not caring what people think about you, it's like now you have to like be an open book. And I think that part of this journey was probably the most difficult for me, because I've always had an attitude of, you know, if you don't pay my bills, you know what I mean? Like, that attitude we were taught, like, don't worry about what people think about you.
Don't worry about what nobody thinks.
I think that's still the attitude to have, but you still got
to. You have to explain yourself now.
Yeah.
And that's, but
I think the reason why we're having to explain ourselves more, and because this, hold on, let me, before I say that, this is an all love. I'm going to disclaimer this statement. This is an all love show. I love y'all. I don't know if y'all listen to my show regularly or not, but I'm a lover of my people. I love me. I love us. I love this. But what I'm gonna say is the majority of the people who we have to explain ourselves to look like us.
They look just like us.
And we always we say we want to relate to the person who leading us.
Right.
But when we get somebody who relate to
your needs, right?
It's such a disconnect. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, and a lot of that is, and it's a cultural, it's a cultural disappropriation period when it comes to that. Our misappropriation comes within community itself, with the love of one another, mm-hmm. and how we treat one another, mm-hmm. and then the expectations of self when it comes of others, when it comes to people who don't look like us. Like, mm-hmm. again, like you stated, we can't expect people who don't look like us to understand what we're going through. They're going to be sympathetic, but not empathetic.
Empathetic.
So there's a total difference with that. And we got to start to realize that people who look like us that are showing actual empathy for our situations, because they've been in the situations, overcome mm-hmm. the situations, and now they're trying to fix the situation.
The actual situation. Right. Right.
Stop damning them, mm-hmm. and start pushing them up, lifting them up. Everybody got a past. Everybody has shit that they had to overcome, mm-hmm. barriers. I mean, we expect too much of people, and we done probably did worse.
Right, we all human.
You know, I think that once we start to us personally start to have a better acceptance for who representing us, it'll be easier for the other people. We won't, that's because we barely care about what other people of other colors and races think about us.
We just care about what our own race think.
Because it'd be negative.
Mm.
If they were saying more positive, we'll care.
Right.
But, you know, support goes a long way. We got a comment that says, knowing what he's about and the changes he's prepared to make has made me think about community voting and how important it is. We do need more African Americans in these types of roles. Definitely.
And you know what the saddest part about local politics? Right now, of course, District 1 encompasses about 50,000 registered voters from Frenchtown all the way to Leon County side of Woodville. And historically, and this is prior to 2018 when convicted felons were restored the right to vote. I have to go back and get those numbers as to how many eligible convicted felons have actually gone and registered to vote. But looking at the numbers and how skewed they are when it comes to voter turnout in communities of color, we should not have elected officials in 50,000 person districts winning elections with 10,000 votes. That just should not happen. And historically in this community, that is what is happening over and over and over again. The numbers continue to shrink to like a 20% voter turnout. And we talk about on a statewide and national level about voter suppression and demand, putting situations in place, whereas we aren't allowed to vote. And then we don't have that situation here. And it's just like we suppress ourselves from voting. Now, I don't feel it's a disconnect.
It's the lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
But how important that is, or if it's just a redundance of the same cycle, no matter who's in office, this is what our neighborhood looks like. And I think the unique situation in this community is we've had the same commissioner for 27 years.
That's what I'm saying.
So
you got to think about that. Think about that. If voting in these districts are dropping and the same face keeps showing, They don't believe in the powers that be.
All right. I've been told several more seasoned saints, like, oh, I know you ain't trying to. I'm like, ma'am.
That's crazy. And you know what? And to be perfectly honest, those are the ones turning up to vote them, keep them in there.
Yeah.
Them the ones that show up to do that. You know what I'm saying? We got, oh, my grandma was one of them. She don't play about that. She going to do her ballot.
Right.
The people who she know. In this community, I know this name. It ain't what they do; it's the names they know.
The name she know.
So if listen, and I'm saying, and it might be ignorance, but that's pure. That's dedication.
Mm-hmm.
That's dedication. We ain't got people dedicated to us in our age brackets and the younger communities. Right. These older people are dedicated to their people. They're gonna go out there. They're gonna vote. They're gonna keep them in their seats.
Because a lot of times these people remember when they couldn't vote.
Exactly. They showing up.
They went through the struggle of not
and having that's what it is too.
Certain rights and being alienated from certain things. But we have just grown accustomed to feel like this is our natural born. I mean, I don't know. It's a huge disconnect, especially with our younger generation, and not we have a distrust when it comes to local government. We don't feel like our vote matters or our vote counts. But trust me, they do count the votes. They have a system in place. I'm not going to say it's a perfect system, but of course, until we at least try to promote change, I think that, I mean, we can't fault anyone else for not changing things for us.
That's true.
How do you feel about protecting your mental health?
Man, it's a huge thing. I'm actually in the process. I mean, I think that mental health and therapy and counseling and drinking your water and exercising and taking mental breaks and things of that nature are super important. I talk to my fiance about it all the time, but I think I'm scheduling more therapy sessions because I know she's not my therapist and she get tired of hearing about politics all the time. So I'm gonna take some of that burden off of her, and also for me to just unload and unpack. Of course, even when you're in a leadership role, that doesn't mean you don't have a personal life.
Right.
You got to decompress.
And children and dealing with deaths in the family and all those things that come with age. Right. So you have to have that sort of outlet, and of course your best friends and your colleagues aren't your therapists. And if you want to have a more confidential conversation, you need to get somebody that get you to sign a piece of paper
that got your license.
Of course,
it's important. It's very important.
Talk to just pray about it, but no, we need to pray and act. So while you're praying, I think that your mental health is definitely important, especially when you're juggling life and personal relationships and
career
and everything else that comes with it. So yeah, I think that's very important.
And then, you know, anything where you don't work at it is pretty much not happening right for you anyway. If you're not working toward it, how do you expect any change or any growth from that? Our mental health is one of the biggest aspects. Now we're focusing as a community on mental health more because we know how serious it is when it comes to things that are happening to us in our communities, outside of our communities, just in everyday life. So I'm glad that you are taking your mental health serious because the least people in our community, the Black men are the people who are the least care about their mental health. Mm-hmm. You guys will push that stuff to the back burner and act like it ain't bothering you, and try to just keep going. But then next thing you know, you done had a stroke.
And I went through the majority of my life like that. Like, we were taught to just keep going, hurt and keep going. But I think that as I did discover what therapy was, you didn't have to be crazy to go see a therapist because there is that stigma in communities of color. Based on mental health and therapy and things that your therapist is not a psychiatrist. That does not mean that they're going to give you some medicine when you leave them.
Sitting on the couch. Look at this picture. What do you see in this black and white?
Right.
Only time you got somebody writing that type of prescription is if you already done got sent there by a psycho ward.
Right. And you have to understand that we dealt with a lot of traumatic situations, even in childhood, that we still are burdened by.
Yes.
That baggage. So our stress level is here all day. And then when some one little tiny things happen, now our stress is through the roof. And we got to, like you said, we have to decompress and release those
have
things.
To. Mm-hmm. You better.
What would you do to challenge anyone working on their journey to be a politician, to create the, this is three areas you can go. You don't got to choose your lane when I throw this one at you. What would you challenge someone on their journey that's walking into wanting to be a politician, whether or not they wanted to be the voice of a radio station or the face of a brand? What would you do to challenge them going on any one of those journeys?
I would say that the one thing that is across the board in all three walks is do the work. Like, hard work works. There is no substitution for hard work. I know people say work smarter, not harder. No. Listen, at the end of the day, if you want to excel, if you want to be the best, if you want to lead anything, any community, you're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to stay focused. Even when life, I mean, realize it's okay to fall, like just fall forward. Like, a lot of people are so intimidated by failing that they never even try. And it's like, even with the political realm, like, people are like, well, what if you lose? How do I lose? What do I lose? What do I do? I try again? Like what is a loss if I inspire 10,000 more people who wouldn't have even voted to vote? If I get 10,000 convicted felons who weren't even thinking about voting to vote, like, what do I lose? So it's like, do the work. Like, and you have to be sure of yourself, because if you want to convince someone else to follow you, you need to be following God first, but make sure that you are in alignment with the calling that God has on your life. And of course, we're all human. So, I mean, we beat ourselves up a lot. So I would challenge anyone, like, listen, you have no idea how many nights I sit up in the bed and look at the ceiling. Not because of my own personal journey, because now that I have so many people watching and depending on me, that you don't want to let those people down. People are now investing in this campaign, and you don't want to let those people down. So there's a burden that comes with these hats. These hats heavy. I know I got a big head. Listen, the weight of all this, of trying to carry all of this, and at the same time be a father, a fiance, and all these other things. But I mean, like, I might ask God to eat, so he put a lot on my plate. So, and I understand that my commitment to this community, and always be committed to what you're doing. Like, I started this journey with a commitment to my community, and no matter what chapter of this journey I'm in, that commitment will remain the same.
That's good. And that's really big, because, you know, no matter how much you ask to eat, you still can't get too full. Like, you ain't never full. Because you ask for it. Like, think about that. Like, if this is for you, this journey that you're going on is for you, half of the time you're going to feel the pressures of what you got going on, but it never feels like it's too much.
Right.
It never feels like it's too much.
It can be a lot.
The passion for what you're doing makes you realize that, okay, like you said, you got people watching now. You got people depending on that now. So even if you are not Commissioner Terrence Barber, which we know you're going to be Commissioner, they still look at you as WCW Terrence Barber, Capital Connections Terrence Barber, the young lady's father. So your hats, regardless, you're going to go again in the next term, and you do it again. You know what I'm saying? It's not something that you, because if you show them how easy it is to stop, they're gonna think that why should I push?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And your walk is to show them that it can be done.
And I think that one of the most prolific things a person can do in this life is show the fallen how to get up. Like, it's easy to represent winners, like, oh,
yes.
To be able to reach back and show people who have fallen just like you how to get up and continue to run the race, I think is one of the most selfless acts that a person
can do. The underdog. I always root for the underdog. The underdog always rises.
Right.
Underdog always rises.
Right. Old keys won't open new doors.
The underdogs really be so special, though. They really be
very special.
Right.
It really
was the dog in the fight. Size of the fight in the dog.
Yes.
Yep.
Define your idea of preservation.
Ooh. Preservation. Understanding that you're going to have wounds that have to heal in order to continue moving. And if you just like any other, just like a superficial wound, if you keep bothering, if you keep going back to that place, then that wound will never heal. And what's promoted my perseverance was faith in God and understanding that God won't put more on you than you can handle. So I think that to continue going, you just have to grit and bear a lot of things and understand that it comes with, it all comes with it. Like, it comes with the territory. Like, you have to know that once you step out on faith, that God might not catch you as soon as you leap. But before you hit the ground, there will be some comfort in that journey. So I wake up every day and I pray and I ask God for another day just to be me. And I get to go out and show the world like what falling and standing back up and fall 8, get up 9, you fall, and you continue pushing and just having that faith that God put us here for a reason. Like, it's so easy to be regular. Like, not saying that, you know, everyone is an extraordinary in their own rights, but I think that sometimes people, when I talk and have conversations with people, and they look in awe, like, why do you try to do all of that? I'm like, well, I could have stayed selling cars for the rest of my life. I was making good, had a good six-figure job, sitting down, selling cars. I didn't even have to pay for, I didn't have to pay no bills or nothing at the dealership. I had a nice air-conditioned office. They gave me inventory to just sit there. All I had to do was make a Facebook post and people would come in and just let me sell. I'm talking about they'd be dying to let me sell them a car, but I didn't feel fulfilled. I made good money, but I think that until we align ourselves, just because you're good at something doesn't mean that's what you're supposed to do for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that that's what my perseverance has come from, because I had to drag myself out to bed to get to that six-figure job every morning because I didn't feel fulfilled. So I think that your perseverance is also attached to your alignment and getting where God wants you to be.
Your purpose.
Yeah,
your purpose.
Right. And that's
your purpose.
Purpose is a propeller. Like, if that's a divine interaction between you and whatever higher being you believe in. But I think that that's a huge part of persevering and continuous growth is getting in alignment with that.
If you are here on a journey that, because you said that, you know, the perseverance on your journey is what had, or from what you've been through, it actually got to, you know, making you push harder.
Yeah.
Do you believe that you would even walk a life or get to this portion without all of that? You know, because for one, how could you? Because you couldn't be able to have that mastermind connection to the people. I think the reason why I'm asking that is because I feel like relationships had to be built. You know, connections had to be made. I think that knowing the people of the streets had to happen. I think that being educated on some fronts has to happen. I think that, you know, job experience has to happen to get you to certain levels. Do you feel that your walk was completely aligned the way it was so you can?
I think a lot of times we may not understand why we're doing what we're doing at that time, but of course hindsight is always 20/20. We can look back like, oh, now I see why I had to go through that, because God
was preparing me. That's why I said that.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, and of course direction will always be more important than speed. So just because something isn't happening as soon as we expect for it to happen doesn't mean that God is preparing us for this place. So yeah, like I say, I think that all things said were, and all things that I've done and had to endure and had to go through, even with the recent loss of my mom, like I would have never been husband material as long as I was so much of a mama's boy. I'll be honest with you. I would, because I'm not going to put nobody before my mom. I just wouldn't have never done it.
But even you would have. You would have.
Be honest. I was way too
You know, and I think I'm stuttering because sometimes you're right, Terrence. Yeah. It may not always be what you expect it to be to happen to make you get to the next level, but it might be stuff like that has to happen for you to get to where you're trying to go because of certain connections. Because that your connection with your mama probably was a good connection, but it probably wasn't the best connection.
You know, in order to
prepare you, you know, to so
and you just understand, like, pain is all a part of the process. And like you say, most Black men, we never stop and embrace that those chapters of our life. We try to just close the book and keep going. And like, no, until we stop and start embracing. A lot of times, like even with, like I said, with the loss of my mom, like at the time I tried to just keep going like nothing happened. Like I had a brother that just kept working. But now it's like, I'm happy that I did sit down for a minute and take time to really reflect on, you know, what is the positive in this situation? Like, what have I gained? What have I learned through the situation? And then I was able to start celebrating the life that she lived. But as long as I skipped over the painful part of the process, I wasn't able to learn from that experience.
Yes.
But to see how I could grow through what I had to go through. Because in life, you're going to go through things. It's up to you to go through them.
Yeah, and it's good that you actually figured that out before, earlier, and then later, because you would have had to come right back and go through that pain. Even if it was 10 years later, you would have had to come right on back and go through it. And
you had to deal with it. You had to deal with it.
So it's good that you dealt with it as early as you have done. Because when I seen you and I seen that your mom, I was like, this man's still going.
And it's still a process.
It's still going.
It's a process.
Yeah, it is.
You have to deal with those things. Like I said, suppress.
That's a real. That was what you just said was really prolific because I've never heard a person say that for one, especially using a death example as a way that they had to kind of go to their next level. A lot of us don't feel that way. We don't feel that way. Some of us don't connect ourselves with the fact that we here, we gonna leave. Some of us don't have that connection to understand it. You know what I'm saying? So that was prolific. I'm gonna get off of that though, but that was very prolific. One more thing I'm gonna ask you before we get out of here.
And I got a question for you after she give you ask you this.
Oh no, go ahead, Queen, because this question is the last question.
A couple of years ago, this probably was right when y'all started Working Class Wednesday. I remember Brandon Mickens shared this post, and it was talking about the 10 top cities that is going to be influential to Black-owned businesses, and Tallahassee was in the top 5. Once you started Working Class, Working Class Wednesday was going on, because I remember doing Working Class Wednesday when y'all first started out. Like, to see the growth is amazing. Do you see that growth from that article that I said, from that article, do you see that growth with you doing Working Class Wednesdays and where you at now going into, you know, county commissioner and all of that?
I think that Tallahassee has everything it needs to be that city, especially for people, not just people of color, but an all-inclusive community. We have a college town, people from all over the country. We have a 35% African-American population here. So we got enough Black folks to make change. We've had Black leadership. Oh, we've had 2 Black mayors in my lifetime, Black community. Like, we have all of the tools and the economy to support Black business. And I think that one of the biggest things that why I started Working Class Wednesday, when I looked around from a community standpoint, I didn't see the platforms in place to help those businesses grow. But it seems like as soon as I started Working Class Wednesday and people ahead of me start noticing, they started attaching. Like, I didn't know what OEV was. I didn't know we had 2 minority chambers here.
I didn't know that either.
But
right, until I started Working Class Wednesday, I had no idea that we had minority chambers here. Didn't even know what that was. So it's like, we have to build a table and sit people accordingly. We need the right people at the table with these connections to the community in order for us to grow. Because right now, I'm gonna tell you what we have in this community, and a lot of people disagree with what I'm saying, but I say it is what it is. We have a community of colored folks that aren't from here that now represent our communities.
That's true.
Because they have the wherewithal to get in front of the folks that, you know, you know, when people are passing things out, they know how to get in front of those people.
Yeah.
And we have to, us people in this community, from this community, in order for the entire community to grow, we have to reach back to those people as well. We can't just grow from a college graduate level and up, because that is not the complete demographic of this community. Mm-hmm. That's your question. Do we have what it takes? Absolutely. I was doing some research the other day on a place called Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They like a 80% black African-American population out there in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Black businesses everywhere. It's like the Tulsa. It's like the Black Wall Street. And I think that the stigma between black population and crime and all these other things, if we overlook the economic portion of that stigma and understand that when you have black businesses in black neighborhoods hiring black people so that the black dollar is circulating within those, then crimes go down, you get better schools, you get better teachers, you get better public transportation, you get better parks, you get better sidewalks, you get better everything. Because right now we want to talk about the black dollar not circulating in our communities. Where are we going to circulate it at? Right now, most of our black neighborhoods are food deserts. Shout out to the black restaurants and restaurateurs that are in our neighborhoods. But where are these black dollars supposed to circulate? Retail stores at an all-time low in black communities. I mean, where are we going to circulate them at? So that's why I drive home the importance of black, not only just black businesses. We need more black businesses in black neighborhoods. So that when those little kids walk into the bus stop, they see Miss Mary with the beauty salon, they see Mr. Charles.
Exactly.
Themselves in that position, so that then we can matriculate more entrepreneurs and more black business owners to cultivate generational wealth in our community. So when you ask, is Tallahassee that? Could it be that place? Absolutely.
Thanks.
Absolutely. But we there's some changes that's going to take place in order for us to, you know, expound on that.
And it said it in the article that in the next 5 to 10 years that it will be
there.
I was like, wow.
It's going to be bombastic regardless on certain levels. Uh-huh. But is it going to be bombastic in our areas is the question.
And that's the thing that we have to be careful of. Because right now we have a lot of infrastructure coming in to our communities of color. Millions of dollars. They're dumping more money. It's scary in a sense. But at the same time, you have to participate in the change. Because we can't just scream gentrification every time development happens. Especially when we are abandoning our own communities. Like, this is a college town. We have a lot of college graduates from right here in Tallahassee. And when we don't retain talent very well,
they leave.
And then even culturally in the black community, the key to your success is making it out the hood.
That's
what, So we grow up, we get a little money, get a little education, and we move away from our neighborhood. And then 20 years later, we look back and the neighborhood don't belong to us no more. Well, you left it.
Right back in, and I'll be like, oh my God.
Like, we talk about all these millionaires that are being created at these institutions of power. Like, who is coming back and investing
in
our communities? Like, and then when they become not our communities anymore, I mean, you can't gentrify occupied dwellings. Like, nobody is putting people out of their house to buy their house. No, these houses are empty. I think that there's a lot of moving pieces to that conversation, because we have
a lot of education come with that, Terrence. So that's what those when we see you in office and those monthly meetings and those conversations, they cannot just be informal or informational meetings. They can also be technical meetings, educational meetings. We teaching people what's happening so that they can be prepared, because not only are we growing on a level of community growth and infrastructure, we got crypto starting, we got the wave technology. Our older generations are being left behind. They're gonna get robbed blind by the younger generations if they don't know what's going on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like we got a lot of informational things that we need to do for our communities. And we could talk about this forever, because there are so many programs in place for community development and community growth. It's just not completely going to be handed to you. You got to do the research. You got to seek the information. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that you made some very, very key points. So in your responses to all of the questions that we did ask you, I skipped around a little bit, but I wanted to basically ask you some of the direct ones that will give our viewers, listeners, once we put this on our page, on our website, also the not a little bit more understanding of who you are and what you're trying to do, because that's important. If we want people to vote,
please vote.
So
I'm telling you.
We need you to be registered.
Right.
Nobody's suppressing anybody in Tallahassee, y'all. Right. So let's go ahead and line up. I'm speaking directly into the mic for y'all.
Register now.
Now. Right. In all seriousness, we need, because we got some new roles that need to be filled. Yeah. What's next?
What's next is we out campaigning. We knocking on doors, getting ready. We got a Working Class Wednesday next week on the 23rd. We'll be back at the Edison Restaurant as our Women's History Month celebration. Everyone is absolutely, well, all women-owned businesses are absolutely free to come out and set up an event, provided you bring your own table. So we're going to have some free hors d'oeuvres right there in the heart of downtown Cascade Park. Going to have some dynamic speakers come out. And as far as the campaign, we have canvassing dates that are about to be announced. We started in Jake Gaither Park about 2 weeks ago. We knocked on, I think, 330 doors on one Sunday, myself and volunteers. So campaigns are one on the ground. Like, we got a lot of talk right now.
They are one on the ground.
Money don't vote. Now, you can't go out and purchase votes. Of course, you can buy billboards and everything else, but even that inventory is very low. I think Faison and Brooks them got all the billboards. So, and we ain't letting them go. So, you got to work. I mean, we're going to do the work. So we campaign, and we got another campaign fundraiser coming up next month. We'll be at Soulful over there with Chef Shaq, still supporting my Black-owned businesses throughout this race. So we running Capital Connections each and every Friday at 12 o'clock p.m. on Heaven 98.3. I got my sister Erica Cromarty will be on there this Friday with me. Yeah.
My girl. I see you had my pastor on there too, Pastor Nikki. So,
yeah. Okay, yeah. I try to celebrate my people, man. You know, right now,
awesome.
We have I go to a lot of meetings. I see the same people.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I see the same people every meeting. So I just want to shed light on. It's a lot of people in Tallahassee doing
it's
dynamic.
A lot of people.
Circle of people, and I just want to help bring everybody up, man. So yeah, if that's I get awesome. A chance to shed some light on somebody that's doing some remarkable things, that's what we're doing. So yeah, we're gonna keep praying and we're gonna keep pushing.
That's wonderful.
I'm very, very happy to hear that. The what's next? He shared it out for y'all. They'll be at the Edison next Wednesday next month. They'll be at Soulful with Chef Shaq. Y'all make sure y'all come. That's March and April.
March and April.
Everything
March
else you'll April. Probably see me sharing on our page.
Right, yeah.
When they start, you know, promoting that. But right now, you know, March and April. I don't know, I got to check with Queen, but I think we may actually come out and do Working Class Wednesday next Wednesday, come out and be like a little small vendor table. Tell people a little bit about the podcast a little bit. So if we do that, we will not be live. Mm-hmm. Next Wednesday, we'll probably play one of our recorded shows from our summer podcast tour. So we got a lot of people. We still got a lot of them shows to go. But y'all, we be wanting to be live.
We got a lot. So
exactly. We be wanting to be live though, so I haven't had time to even
play your show.
And then we get ready to all over again.
I got shows to play, y'all.
Shows for days. Shows for days.
Right.
So next Wednesday. More than likely, you guys will get a wonderful interview show from the Summer Podcast Tour because we're going to probably go. We're not going to do a show next week at all if we do that. We'll just be out as a real vendor at WCW.
I ain't been in a long time.
Yeah, we ain't been in a while.
And I used to bend all the time.
Yeah, I see I don't see you no more.
Man, busy. Just busy with a whole bunch of other things that's going on and stuff. So,
yeah.
And then this every Wednesday. So
right.
This is literally every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
We don't shut down.
Schedule Wednesday shut down for anything.
Yeah. We be busy. I like busyness though, because an idle mind is the devil's playground. Yes. And I don't play like that. I don't play like that.
Gotta keep going.
Yes. So thank you so much, Terrence, for joining us.
Yes, appreciate it.
You really gave the people perspective today. And that's what we do in our interviews. We want you to let people know who you are. And yes, his name. His nickname probably in the street still T City. when you see Well, I always when you see Mr. Terrence Barber out now, you call him Terrence Barber. That's who he is today.
And he may be Mr. Terrence to some of y'all.
You
can be Mr.
You feel me? Like, respect the people for where they are now. That's my point. Respect us for where we are now. 5 minutes ago, let it go. Let it go.
Most definitely, let it go.
That's it. You know. So thank y'all for tuning in today. We appreciate you all so much because y'all always represent for us. I know this is one of them interview shows, so y'all got to watch and listen today versus give so much feedback. But thank you. Y'all are always appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Barber, for taking out your time to, you know, give us a little bit of your give us a little bit of what you're doing out there in the community and working for us. We look forward to you, your continued work for your community and your continued success. Queen.
Man, keep doing you, man. Like, we look. Claire's then told me to tell Terrence to do his thing. Tell him I'm praying for him and I believe in him. So,
appreciate it.
Man, we got you over here, man. So we like what you're doing and keep doing it because you just don't know. You're making a difference in somebody.
Yes. Right. And we're trying to get a shirt. So let us know what we need to do to get one of them shirts.
Oh, I got
one. Look, so we can represent.
I'll bring it up next Wednesday.
We're trying to represent. Thank you.
Look, I need a sign and all that.
Yeah, we got.
Not even in that district, but I got a sign all
in my yard.
That's right. That's right. You take care of your family. Keep doing what you're doing, my brother, and be strong.
And congratulations, community,
and be strong in your faith.
Thank you. Thank y'all so much.
We appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll see y'all not next Wednesday, but the Wednesday after next. We will be back live in the studio, SW Podcast. We love y'all. We like y'all. We appreciate y'all so much. But peace.
We gotta go.
We out of here.